November 35 games, although two haven't finished. I did say it'd be an early show today. So we'll go through the three games that are completed and where we're up to in the two that are still going. This is the Saturday post-game show. Let's go balls deep. I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am Adam King. Find me on Twitter at AdamKing91 and on Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Twitter at FBI Basketball, on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and watch us on Twitter. Go and find us and subscribe to all that stuff. We are also part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. Three games completed, two still going. I do have to be on the road in 28 minutes, so we're on a bit of a time limit today, so we will get straight into the games. The first of which was the Hawks and the Hornets. The Hawks just, they made hard work of it. They do get the win, 107 to 104. Trae Young still looks... I don't know what's going on with him. The assists were low here. That's fine, whatever. But offensively, he just, I don't know. I've never seen him this passive. There was even a period towards the end of the game where he was deferring and you could see Quinn Snyder basically say to him from the sideline, shoot the ball. So I don't know this. To me, that would say this is not a directive that's come from the coach or anything like that. It's just something, it's obviously Trey, part of it is just trying to get his teammates involved. But whether there is some sort of an issue, that like a lingering thing, I don't know what it is. Anyway, he had 14 and 5 with a steal. So not terrible, but certainly far from his best. He was also only 4 of 6 from the line. Dyson Daniels, 8 points. Yeah, points have been a little bit up and down lately. But he had 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. So still getting it done on the other end of the floor. It was Okongwu outplaying Capella in this game. So good luck knowing who is going to be the preferred option from one game to the next. It was Capella in the last game. It was Okongwu before that. Okongwu had 16 and 11 with a steal off the bench in 28 minutes, and Capella played 20 minutes as the starter, had 4 and 14 with 2 blocks. So still not a bad line from him, but no real clarity here on who they are preferring to go with as their closing center. Jalen Johnson, good game from him. Reese Shea had 14 and 3 with a steal and 2 blocks, so a pretty good game from him. DeAndre Hunter was good also with 18 points. Off the bench, again, he is just points. That's it. Well, threes as well, but points and threes. Reese Shea, this was good. If you did stream him in today, it was a low-volume day, then you're pretty happy with this. But 25 minutes most nights is not going to be enough. And we had no Bogdanovic, so keep that in mind in this one. All right, click over. There we go, to the Hornets. And yes, Ernest, I see your questions in there. I will get to them once Herb won. Yep. Okay, so for the Hornets, no LaMelo Ball out for, well, reevaluated in 2 weeks. So it Vasily Micic started. We talked about this on the pregame show this morning about KJ Simpson and whether he was worth a look. And I said, look, fine, if you want to have a look at him. We don't really know what they make of him as a viable option. And given that they've signed, I knew I'd forget his name. They've signed a guard. Where is it? I know I saw it. Shams tweeted it out. Isaiah Wong from the G League. So they've brought him in, which to me, obviously they're just adding depth, but it does say that they don't really, well, currently view Simpson as a, a guy that can play 25 minutes. Micić was pretty good in this one. He had 15 points, 8 rebounds, career high, I believe, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 34 minutes. That's very encouraging. If you picked him up, I did in one league, and I'm absolutely thrilled with this. I would like a couple more assists, but very good line from him. So we just add him, I think. Salu, who I talked about as being a potential add, he went 0 of 8 and had 0 points with 2 steals. Bridges is close, I think, to returning. So if you do want to move on from him, that's fine. Josh Green had 17 points with 3 steals. This is a 12-team line. He has been okay the last few games. But again, once Bridges is back, I do think that impacts him a little bit. But if you want to take a flyer on him, go ahead. And then we have the center rotation. They get a center back, Nick Richards, back from his rib injury. Diabate started, played 22 minutes. He had 8 rebounds, 2 steals and a block. So I think we might get another game or two where he is okay if that's all you need, rebounds and defense, because Nick Richards played more minutes than him, played 25, and he fouled out. So I do think that Richards would have closed this game and probably played 29 minutes maybe. And Richards had 12 and 6 with 3 blocks. So Richards is the clear preference there. Not surprising. Maybe we do get one or two more games of Diabate having borderline value. But Mark Williams is supposedly very close. So once he is back, I think Diabate loses all of his appeal. Philly and Detroit. Philly get a rare win over the hapless Detroit Pistons. They were terrible in this one. For the Sixers, Paul George returned. They didn't need to extend him too much, only 26 minutes. He had 11, 8, 5 with a steal. So not his best night, but good to see him back on the floor. Yabusele, also not his best night, 7 and 8. But Andre Drummond left this game after only 4 minutes with, I think it was an ankle, I want to say. I'm not going to go and check. I think it was an ankle. If he is out and Embiid remains out, Yabusele, I think, needs to be added here. Tyrese Maxey, very good, not surprising against this defense. And Oubre had 14 points. Jared McCain moved to the bench and had 7 points. I would be holding him. He still played 29 minutes. It was a down game, and he's a rookie. So this is going to happen. KJ Martin out of nowhere, 19, 6, and 3 with 3 blocks. We have seen him do this before. It was a while ago that he did it, but he does have this ability, but not a priority for me after just one game. Okay, and over to Detroit. So I've had a few questions about some Detroit players. I do know someone in one of my leagues streamed in Tim Hardaway today, and he had 0 points on 0 of 6 shooting with 0 rebounds, 0 assists, 0 steals, and 0 blocks. So arguably the worst stream of all time. So questions about Tobias Harris. Is he a hold? I think he's a hold, but I don't know. He's pretty bad at the moment. I know, look, this was obviously on that very, very bad end. He has been better than this. But I certainly don't think he's got that ceiling we thought he had at the start of the season. We thought he might be top 50. I think he's more like top 90, top 80 maybe. So I do think he is still worth holding because I just don't think you're going to find anyone on waivers who have the upside or the ability to put up consistent top 80 numbers or anything like that. No Cade Cunningham. He was not on the injury report. He was named as a starter, I believe, and then he was just ruled out. So that's well done. Obviously, that shouldn't be allowed, but I'm sure that there won't be a fine or anything. Jaden Ivey played reasonably well. Well, good enough anyway. Beasley continues to play really well. And Jalen Duren, now there's not a question in here about Jalen Duren, but I think I got asked, or maybe I just commented, I don't know, someone, anyway, on Twitter about Duren and where are we with Duren. And look, I'm going to put my hand up and say I was wrong on him thus far this year. He is still very young, so I'm always going to take that into account. But He was good in the last game, but he's certainly been bad a lot more than he's been good. He had 4 points. He had zero rebounds. Do we drop him? I don't think he's a drop. He is someone who you could potentially, if he puts two or three games together, I would possibly be looking to move off him. So if you could sell him for a top 70 player, I probably would. I mean, in my mind now for the rest of the season, he's probably a borderline double-double, 10 and 10, 10 and 9 with a block. And that is easy to stream. So I don't think you have to hold him, but I would certainly only be dropping him for someone that has a pretty good shot at top 100 value for the rest of the season. Isaiah Stewart, another bad game, 6 points, two blocks in his 15 minutes. A little bit in that Duren basket. I'd hold Duren over Stewart, but Stewart certainly has been pretty ordinary the last couple of games. Washington and the Bucks. The Bucks get the win finally, 124 to 114. Washington, credit to them, they kept it close. And a lot of Bucks questions as well. Alex Saar started, of course, alongside Jonas Valanciunas, and Saar's numbers production basically disappeared. So I wouldn't be dropping Saar. I think this was just Valanciunas started because they were up against Lopez and Giannis, so it was simply a size thing. Once Valanciunas goes back to the bench, Saar should be okay. So not much to do there. Coulibaly had 4 points, four assists, two rebounds, two steals. Not a good game. We're being honest here. He is still a hold, though, I think. Brogdon, we're just rolling with him until he gets injured. Jordan Poole, one of his better games in the last couple of weeks. He had 31 and 7 with two steals. So good to see him getting both offense and defense going again. Currington, we can move on. 3 points in 16 minutes. Kyshawn George, no need to be holding him either. Although if Kuzma is out for the next game, which I think he will be, George could move back into the starting lineup if Valanciunas goes back to the bench. So maybe you get another game out of Kyshawn George. And Corey Kispert, just 8 points streamer. For the Bucks, Giannis dominated, no surprise. Lopez was pretty good. Zero rebounds from Brook Lopez. I mean, I'm never surprised when his rebounds are low, but how does he get zero? I'd like to think that even I could get one. If I was out on the court, on an NBA court for 35 minutes, I could get one rebound. Maybe I'm wrong, but yeah, zero. It's a lot of boxing out maybe and clearing the path for other players because Andre Jackson got 9 rebounds. We don't need Jackson. We don't need Prince. It's Lopez. It's Lillard. It's Giannis. And it's Bobby Portis, I guess. 9.6 rebounds. He's been pretty bad, to be honest. If I had him on any of my teams, I don't. I would be considering him expendable. Again, much like Duren, it would have to be for someone who I was pretty sure was going to put up numbers. All right. Let's have a look at the other two games. Okay, let's see. So Phoenix and Golden State, we'll quickly go through it. I watched the first half of this one. So let's jump into the Golden State. So there is currently in that game, there is 8 minutes to go. Suns are up by 8 points. For the Warriors, Podziemski moved into the starting lineup. He started well. He had his 10 points very, very early. Hasn't done anything since. Trayce Jackson-Davis, I know he's starting. No need to be rostering him at all. Buddy Hield, again, pretty mediocre when his shot's not falling and when he's not taking a ton of shots. He just has nothing to fall back on. I think he is a hold, but honestly, you're okay to move on, I think. Same goes for Jonathan Kuminga here. He has currently 4 points in 10 minutes. So he was good in that last game as a starter, but if he's going to come off the bench and play 15 to 18 minutes, I don't think we need to be holding him. For Phoenix, Bradley Beal was ruled out. I think he was probable and then downgraded to out. Nurkic also sat this one out. So Plumlee got the start. Grayson Allen got the start. We know when Beal is out, we stream Grayson Allen. He has 17 points currently. Plumlee, you can stream him in for rebounds. He has six of those with two blocks, so that's always nice from him. And Royce O'Neal is the other one we're looking at there. He currently has 11 points, two rebounds and one assist, so not his best night, but I think he'll just be one of those potential adds all season long. And the last game, which is the one I was watching before we jumped on the show up until halftime, and that is Dallas and Utah. So where are we at with that one? 6 minutes left in the third quarter, Dallas up by seven. They did get out to a pretty big lead early, and Jazz pulled it back thanks to some impressive play by Walker Kessler. For the Mavericks, still without Luka, he was doubtful, but he was probably never really going to play in this one. Quentin Grimes started this one on fire. He had 17 points very early. He currently has 21, which I think matches his career high, maybe. Five threes. He just couldn't miss for the first little bit. So nice if you streamed him in. Derek Lively started this one well. He's plateaued a little bit. 6 points, seven rebounds. Yes. Sorry, I'm reading comments. Najee Marshall also someone who had been playing really well. And this had to come. He's one of five. He has 3 points. I would probably hold him a little bit longer. Even if Luka comes back, I do think Najee still has a role here for the foreseeable future anyway. Dan Gafford has played 13 minutes, has 3 and 8 with a steal, no blocks. As long as he gets to 18, 20 minutes, we're holding on to him. And Dinwiddie, who I talked about as a assists streamer, has 5 of those. And for Utah, I said Kessler. He looked really good in the first half. He has 14 and 9 currently with 3 steals and 4 blocks. So very nice to see him. And very engaged offensively. Hustle is there. So, yeah, he looked about as good as I've seen him actually in that first half. Which is nice to see. Keontae George, I'll pop this up because someone, Ryan, commented, Keontae has been shit again, looking to get others involved. Yeah, look, he's got 5 assists, but only 3 points. The offense is still very, very sketchy. He has had some good games of late, but it's not surprising to see him go over 4. And Colin Sexton has 9 points at the moment. Sensabaugh hit 8 points in about 3 minutes, and that's all he has. With Markkanen back, with Collins there, Sensabaugh is very, very borderline. Okay, so let's go to the questions very quickly, and then I will get out of here. Okay, so Ernest, do we see Herb as an easy top 100 rest of season in a punt threes build, deciding whether to put in a free agency bid, $10-ish? For Herb and stash on my IL to activate DeRozan, would have to drop Keontae. Easy top 100, no. Top 100, probably, but his value is basically all tied into one category, and that's steals. So if that's what you need, then sure. But he'll probably average single-digit points. He might get you a 3, maybe. He's not a terrible rebounder, but... yeah, it's steals. If you need steals, I guess that's okay. But Herb's not someone that I'm very high on. So, look, I don't have him anywhere. I'm not chasing him anywhere. You asked the other day, I remember, about whether Kessler is a fair trade for Bane. I think you were looking at moving someone else initially. Proposed it to his league mate and he's thinking about it. Can't say I'm encouraged after this weekend's games, though. I'm assuming you mean encouraged by getting Bane and giving away Kessler. Yeah, look, Bane's been pretty bad. I still think, like, Kessler's good, but his value, again, is very, very tied up into, well, two categories, I would say, blocks and rebounds. Which makes him sort of a top 50 player. So I think if we were purely looking at rank at the end of the season, Kessler could finish ahead of Bain, but that happens with these elite shot blockers. Bain, I think, will help you in more categories. So, yeah, if you need those big man stats, I would keep Kessler. But if Bain is going to help you more with points, threes, assists, steals, free throws, then I would still make that move. Joseph Kim asks, Conley, Micic or Castle, 12-team nine cat? Depends if we're talking sort of next 2 weeks or long-term. Long-term, I think it's Conley. Right now, it's possibly Micic, and Castle is probably in between there somewhere. Castle's been good, but I think as Vassell increases a little bit. But Micic looked okay today, looked a lot better than yesterday anyway. So, yeah, I would probably go Conley if you're looking rest of season, or Micic for the next 2 weeks. Tobias Harris or Sochan when he returns? I think Harris will probably end up better than him based on pure rank. But I almost feel like Sochan is a bit more consistent. He doesn't have the highs that Tobias can have, but he doesn't seem to bottom out as much as Tobias either. Although, I mean, Sochan is coming off an injury, so we'll see. Could take him a few games. But I thought Sochan looked pretty good to start the season. So I do think Harris will probably have more value, as I said, in pure rank. But I don't know. I don't mind Sochan there. Drop McCain for Brogdon. He got benched. McCain got benched. Yes, he did. Brogdon's very short term. That's the issue here. Sorry, I'm just going to the Washington box. What am I going to Washington for? Philly, I mean. Where are we? There's Philly. Okay. So, yes, they did move McCain. I think McCain comes back into the starting lineup, to be honest. Drummond went down here. There's no reason to start Oubre. I think that they'll go back to McCain over Oubre. So if you're looking for right now, I guess Brogdon, you might get a week or two out of him. But rest of season, like, Brogdon's going to get injured. He's going to get traded. Something's going to happen. So I would probably stick with McCain here. All right, and that will do. Oh, hang on, let me get rid of that comment. I don't need to see that there. For today's show, that will do. So tomorrow, okay, what's tomorrow? So there might be a pregame show. It will be, I'm going to have to do it early, probably 2:30 Eastern. Let me just check what time games tip tomorrow. Oh, yep, that's okay. So first game tips tomorrow at 3:30 p.m. Eastern in the States. So I will probably do the pregame show at around 2:30, maybe even 2:30. So it'll be early, 6 a.m. here, my time. And then the postgame show tomorrow will come a little bit later because I sadly have to work. So it will come later than this, but after the games are finished, of course. But that'll do. I need to get going. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I am Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.